Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to turn to 2 Chronicles, the 5th chapter. How many know we need each other? The gift that God has given us is really each other, the church. It's a safe place. It's a place of refreshing. It's an oasis. It's a place of healing. 2 Chronicles 5 and 13 says, it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Now, we're reading about the dedication of Solomon's temple, but really what it is a formula for every one of our services, even Wednesdays. Amen. Would that the power of God would be so strong in this place that we couldn't minister. And I think all of us have experienced that at one time or another, where God just takes over and it's so powerful. And it's during those times that the miraculous happens. And then 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. In verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, so that falling down on his face, he will worship God. This is an unbeliever, somebody who is unlearned. Because we've created an atmosphere that is so incredible that even those who have not believed or even been taught fall down on his face and will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. See, it's for us and it's for everybody else who walks into this place. It can't be a substandard service. It's got to be all or nothing with God. It really does. Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing upon your word and your people, God. It's in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We so desperately need each other that sometimes we don't even realize it. When things aren't going well for us, we think we can do this by ourselves, and we can't. It's a fallacy. It's a lie from hell. Yesterday, I had breakfast, a breakfast meeting with a pastor, and we just talked about some of the things that are going on in our lives, and to me, that is such a refreshing. And he told me about a couple of years ago, he was invited to preach in Colorado, and he flew out to Colorado, and was looking forward to the whole week with this other man's congregation. And while he was there, he had an attack of diverticulitis. Ended up in the hospital and spent the whole week in the hospital, not the whole week, you know, ministering. Was very disappointed, and then he wanted to fly home, but he couldn't because of the pressures in the airplane, and so he was forced to stay another week. But the pastor had to leave on a previous engagement, so he said, "You can stay in my house if you want and just rest." And so that's what he did. He said he was in the lower level of the house, and he was just feeling low, just feeling down, feeling like, God, what's the purpose in all of this? And why now? Why now? And as he laid on the bed with his eyes closed, he felt someone sit down on the bed and then put their hands on him. He knew no one was in the house. All the doors were locked. And he said it was the most incredible feeling of comfort and healing that came to him when he least thought it would happen. See, he shall give his angels charge over us. God always had a desire to dwell among his people. It's his greatest. He couldn't wait for service tonight. Amen. And once we understand how much he loves us and cares for us, we then have a desire to be in his presence. You see, when we understand his desire is to be with us, then it's our desire. This is part two of perhaps Sunday night's message. In fact, once we receive the Holy Ghost, we long to be in his presence because there's this connection, not only in church services, but when we're at home and in our cars and at the mall. Our God is omnipresent. He's always there. It's just that he doesn't manifest himself to us all the time. But it's so strange that I'll find myself singing a song, not even thinking about it, but this thing, singing praise to God because there's something within me that wants me to do that, you see. So how is it that sometimes we feel this incredible touch of God, and then there are times when we think God has left town for a while, you know, or you don't understand what's going on. You don't understand the situation I'm in. And yes, he does. He was always cognizant of it. And what I see in the scripture is that David created an atmosphere that God couldn't resist. The secret is to create an atmosphere, and you can do this with a great big orchestra, and you can do this with a whole church full of people, but you can do this all by yourself. Amen. Creating an atmosphere that God cannot resist, especially when things aren't going well, you know? When I am weak, then I am strong, that the power of God may rest upon me. We can sometimes have the mindset of, here I am, I came to church, let the music begin, pastor, usher the power and the presence of God in here because it's been a bad day. We hope we have the mind of God for the service. And I know that's very easily done, but it takes an effort on each and every one of us to create the atmosphere that God longs to be in. The atmosphere of the church is not created by one man, one woman. It's not created by a pastor, an evangelist, or a missionary. We have a special speaker coming on Sunday morning, and it'll be great, and God will minister. But it isn't because of the special speaker. You know, there are certain speakers that are just, you know, in demand. Brother Woodward, everywhere, you know, he goes, he just draws crowds, but isn't because God's in his suitcase. I remember being in a revival, a whole week revival in 1980 with a man by the name of Richard Hurd. And I mean, it was just outstanding. I can't remember how many people got the Holy Ghost in it, but it wasn't that Richard Hurd brought God with them. What he said was, I will not come to your church until you fast for a week and have at least one lock-in, an overnight prayer meeting. Well, when you do that, the hearts of people create such an atmosphere for God, you could read out of the phone book and there'd be a move of God, you see, because there's an atmosphere for it. And sometimes some of the things that you're going through is because God wants to create an atmosphere for him to draw close to people. Hallelujah. The atmosphere or prevailing mood is created by those that are in the pew more than those that stand behind the pulpit. I mean, I know how to rev up people. I just won't do it. You know? It's got to be a genuine move of God that everybody knows. It didn't come from this pulpit. It didn't come from this platform. It came from a lot of hungry people who were desperate to get a hold of God. See? That's why when there are special meetings sometimes, I know what happens. They're trying to get people all worked up, you know? That's not what God's looking for. He's looking for you to create an atmosphere, not some special speaker or some special music. We quote Acts 2 and 1 all the time, not very accurately. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all, everyone, with one accord or unanimously in one place. All of the people were participants in what was going on in that room. So as the church gets bigger, it's harder to get people to participate, everybody to participate. Some are on their phones, some are on their iPads, some are thinking about what are they going to do tomorrow. I know it's our nature. But it didn't happen in 15 minutes in the upper room, but they did have a move of God before they even had the Holy Ghost. Please understand that the responsibility for creating an atmosphere for God to enter into is everyone's responsibility. Everyone singing. Everyone on the same page. That's why we have the song service first, you know. I believe during song service, it's not a time to pray. I believe it's a time to sing, you see. And I believe it's a time that everybody starts focusing on God. And I don't know if there's a bell in heaven or what, but when the last person gets to the place where their mindset is on the same thing, everybody, then there's a move of God, and we need to understand that. We have to have a prevailing mood of a desire to be in this place, first of all, and if we want to feel the presence and experience the power of miracles, healings, and deliverances, that doesn't happen when just a few people at the altar get excited and everybody else watches them. This is not a rebuke, folks, in any way. I believe that this is one of the most worshiping churches, united churches that there is in our district. But, you know, we need to guard it and we need to understand that, well, I just don't feel like worshiping tonight. Well, could that hinder somebody else's miracle? You see? I don't want a little drizzle of God. But God really said he wants to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. when they, who? The 120, who were the first church, when we, everyone in our building, all singing, all praising, all thinking about God, you know, could it be a responsibility of someone who is in the balcony or on the front pew that just isn't with it, that could delay God's arrival in this place and prohibit us from getting everything that we want? Glory to God. And there is no excuse, because there's problem, sickness, issues of life. Frankly, I would have rather been in bed tonight than here, been fighting something for the last 3 days. But, you know, where would be a better place to be? And if God heals me, if God comforts me, if God gives me strength, I've got something to worship about. I've got something to thank him for, you see. Hallelujah. And the only way things get fixed is to worship God in the first place. You know, it's the only way. It frustrates me to see people holding back because they know they're not getting what they need. Amen. Number one, I know that they just won't get what they need from God, but also I may not get what I need from God because we're not unanimous in what we're doing, you know? You know, you can walk in here, leave your problems at the door, you know, forget about them completely. And if you really insist, you can pick up your problems when you leave again, you know? But don't bring them in here, you know? And don't tell everybody else about your problems, because they're not going to solve them in the first place. You know, God already knows, so you don't have to tell him. So all you have to do is worship God, thanking him that they're not in the sanctuary, and I know you can take care of them for me, you see. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Every service should be an upper room experience. And that doesn't mean people jumping off the pews and running up and down the aisles. That's not what I'm saying. But there should be a genuine move of God in my life, in your life, because I didn't come here just to spend time on a pew. God couldn't wait to be with us then and now. Amen. And it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And that word filled here means to cram in, level the hollow, to diffuse influence and to satisfy. In other words, take over our thoughts and our feelings. Amen. Psalms 104 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. King Jehoshaphat summoned the entire nation of Judah to pray and to fast. And that created an atmosphere that brought great revival to the entire nation. Because now folks were focused on God. What I love about Sunday morning services, we didn't come from work. We didn't have chores that we did between services. We come, we get up, we get ready, we come to church, we're fresh, and we're giving God the best of what we have. And generally, there's a great move of God because of that. Amen. Amen. We have a cause to unite in one mind, in one accord. And when they were in the building of the Tower of Babel, it said in Genesis 11 and 6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And now these were not saved people. These were backslidden people. and they have all one language. Do we have one language? And this they begin to do, and now nothing we begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So if people who don't even love God are in one accord, and God's saying now they can do anything because they are as one. There's a power in unity, and at Babel, of course, God separated them by language, and in that upper room, it actually united them by language. We are united by not only a cause, but a doctrine and the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Even trouble unites us. It really does. I remember about 35 years ago, our kids were in a Christian school, and the principal got sick. This is a Pentecostal church school. And it got so sick that he went into the hospital, and they didn't know if he was going to make it at all. So the kids started fasting. The kids started praying, you know. And there was trouble in the school. There was a lot of disunity, a lot of problems in the school. And because the principal went into the hospital and was so sick and they didn't know what his outcome was going to be, those kids really got together and started praying. Well, it brought a revival to the school, and then all of a sudden, one morning, everything was fine. They never figured out what the problem was, you know, but his sickness united the entire school. Glory to God. Elijah set an atmosphere by calling the people together for a showdown with 450 false prophets of Baal, you know, and fire came down from heaven. By refusing to bow down to the king's image, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego created an atmosphere and a presence of God that turned the whole nation around, turned the king around, because they were determined, we're going to live for God. Amen. Turn to Acts, the 16th chapter. Acts 16, I read some of this Sunday night. Starting in verse 23, this is where Paul and Silas are put in prison. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all of the doors were open. You know, it wasn't just the doors for Paul and Silas. All of the doors, because they started singing in their dilemma, and everyone's bands were loosed. Hallelujah. See, the responsibility that we have is when we do what God wants, even those around us are the benefactors. And the keeper of the prison, on awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." We didn't leave. And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Glory to God. Could it be just a song service that caused somebody to say, "Wait a minute, never been in a church like this before. What do I have to do in order to be saved? Could it be because somebody got so excited that they were just going to pull out all of the stops and sing in my flu, sing in my cold, sing in glory to God. Paul and Silas began to sing in their prison at midnight and just couldn't wait until Sunday morning. Amen. I hope that our worship isn't confined to Sunday morning or even Wednesday or Sunday night. Remember, you can't allow your location to affect your consecration. It should be with us all of the time. You and only you can create the right atmosphere to get the power that you need in order to get what you need from God. Church, it is no longer a one-man show. Amen. Each of us are responsible for a move of God in each and every one of our services, and it's imperative that we are in one accord, in one place, and we take that responsibility very seriously. When people are up here and they're singing a special or they're praise singing, they take that responsibility seriously because they're ministering to you, but they're ministering to God, you see. And so, you know, you may never stand on this platform to sing a special, but nevertheless, every time you come here, you have a special. You're singing unto God. And who knows how that affects the person that's next to you. Just your attitude. My wife talked to somebody before service. We were here early. And they simply said, "Thank you for talking to me." Maybe that's all you needed tonight, is for somebody to talk to you or to shake your hand, touch your back. See, it's not just about me, it's about those who are around me. Amen. That's important. Could God be waiting for just one or two to get on that same page? How is the presence of God ushered into the temple that we just read about? You know, every one of us, I'm assuming everybody wants just a move of God, Shekinah glory experience in the house of God. It isn't how much longer are you going to preach? It should be, yes, let's do this, you see. We read in the scripture, as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. You know, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God filled the house before it filled the people. Amen. I used this illustration a number of times before, but I don't know if I was filled with the Holy Ghost maybe for 2 or 3 months. It was a Wednesday night. I got to church early. It's just been me always to get where I'm going early. It's one of those things. And I don't think there was maybe 8 people in the pews. There wasn't even music going on. I was in about the middle of the congregation. And as I sat there thinking about God, it was like there was a bucket of water just thrown on me and took my breath away. It was like, it was the presence of God. And I looked, and the other 3 or 4 people that were there had the same feeling of God just rushing in them. And maybe with the four or five or six people, all of a sudden, all four or five or six people started to focus on God. And God just didn't wait for the orchestra to start, didn't wait for the song leader to get there. Maybe that's what he wants to do tomorrow in your house or on the job. The formula has not changed. It will never change. Musicians, singers, saints of God, we must make one sound. This will create an atmosphere that God simply, well, he just can't resist. I have to be there. And he will fill the house with his glory and his power. And here's what happens. It's a wonderful feeling, but there's also benefits or results. Jail cells will be open. Cancers will be healed. Finances will be repaired. Families brought back together. Joy will return. Depression will leave. And the enemy will be defeated by fire from heaven. Amen. All because the church became the church that God wanted them to be in the first place, you know? There's so many distractions. There's so many things that can happen that cause us not to be all in one accord in one place. And that prohibits God from doing everything that he wants to do in our services. Amen. I think we've got so much going for us. When guest speakers come and see this whole altar area filled up at song service, they're just absolutely amazed because it doesn't happen that way in every church. But we have been programmed to get a hold of God because we know if we walk out of here and we haven't been touched, well, when we just haven't had church, you know? And it's going to be harder for me to be faithful and come back if I haven't gotten a taste of God while I was here. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. Amen. So we ought to try it. You know? Glory to God. You know, every one of us will have differences. We have different tastes. We have different outlooks. We come from different backgrounds. But the only thing that unites us is Jesus. And when we forget about our differences and focus on Jesus, my. If you'll just look at the 12 that he picked, everyone was different. They didn't all wear blue suits and ties. They weren't all educated at the same place. And God said, that'll work. I'm just going to have to work with them a while. I'm glad he worked with me for a while. The altar's open. Would you come?